Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying to the Father, he had said to the Father, in essence, he had said, if there be any other way, he asked that this cup would pass from him. And so he's saying, if there be any other way that sinful man can have a relationship with the one true living God, if there's any other way, because what he's about to face with the cross and this brief moment of time where there's going to be separation between the Father and him, God the Father can't look on the sin, and he's going to take on the sin of all of humanity. And so there's just going to be this breach, this darkness, even for Jesus, that's going to set in. And he's, you know, just saying, hey, if there's any other way that sinful man could have a relationship with us, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, Jesus said, but your will be done. And we know ultimately that Jesus went to the cross and paid for our sin on the cross. We know that as believers, we accept that, we acknowledge that. The reality in that, though, in understanding that, is that there's something very significant in grasping that truth, because then Jesus goes on also and says, you know, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. So it's all inclusive and totally exclusive simultaneously. In other words, God is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. Yet on the same token, he says, there's only one way for man to be reconciled with God. If there be any other way, he said, remember in the garden, let this cup pass from me. So there becomes this real issue, because in our world today, there's a lot of pressure for Christians to be more open, more tolerant, as it were. That's the word used. We'd have to go into a lot of definitions to figure out really what tolerance really means, but that's not for today's time. But the idea of be more tolerant, be more accepting of others. Well, to me, it really doesn't boil down to being accepting or being loving or anything, because that's fine. I can love and accept people where they're at. God does that with us. I have no problem with that concept. But the reality is that either you and I, with deep, deep, deep passion and conviction, believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, or you don't. There's no middle ground on that. None. No middle ground for any of us. We either believe 100% and it's pedal to the floor all the way into eternity, or we're going to be caught in this winds of doctrine and tossed around. And, well, maybe this is what it's all about. And who knows? Maybe that. Maybe hell doesn't even really exist. I don't know. Well, how could a loving God, you know, it starts going down all these other avenues. So today, I'm hoping before we walk out of here, that's just a done deal, that it's settled and figured out inside your hearts, and that you're done with it. Because you can't go a bunch of different directions with it. Jesus didn't say that, well, you know, if that doesn't work for you, you could try plan C or D, you know? He doesn't say that, does he? But humanity wants that. We want to grasp that because we want to be a part of our salvation. We want something to do with it. And instead of just receiving God's grace and humbling ourselves and just saying thank you. You can add nothing to your salvation. Zero. You can't add to it. There's no way you can earn it. You see, it was settled, wasn't it, in the garden? It was settled on the cross. If there was another way, then obviously that route would have been taken. But there is no other way. I love the definitive aspect of God in this area. It's very helpful to me. because I don't have to be wishy-washy about it. God said it, I believe it, it's settled, done. I don't need to worry about that. I just can keep moving forward. Because everything else is mere excuses within ourselves to justify whatever we want to do. Now, that's honest. It's difficult, but it's honest. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we start this new portion or this another question, basically, that needs to be resolved. Why is this idea, as we get into chapter 15, about the resurrection itself such an issue? It's interesting if you go into the history of the Corinthian area there and what was going on, and we know because John in 1 John discusses this very thoroughly. One of the issues, and it's not that different than the things that we face today, packaged a little different, maybe stated a little differently, but it was a center for Epicurean philosophy. And Epicurean philosophy is this: party, basically eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. Party hardy, man. You're just going to die anyway. And it's just ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And, you know, this means nothing. This life, you just live to the fullest that you possibly can. Go, basically, it is. It's the go for the gusto concept. Now, I want to enjoy my life just like you do. There's nothing wrong with us enjoying our lives. God wants you to enjoy your life. That's not what the issue is. The Epicurean philosophy is that there's nothing else that really matters because there is no real afterlife. Well, then what are we talking about then? What is Christianity all about? If there's no afterlife, that is the issue. And Paul is trying to resolve that a little bit because just like today, just like what we experience, there's a lot of pressure in this concept of, well, yeah, just do whatever you want and just run fast and have a great life. And because, you know, you're just going to die and that's that. But that's not, the Bible certainly doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches of a literal heaven and a literal hell. Now, there are those that would like to think that maybe there's a holding tank, but there is no holding tank. You can't pray someone, once they've left this planet, you can't pray them in or out of any place else. That's just not biblical. I understand that there's groups that teach that, but that's just not true. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus died on the cross, descended. At that point in time, there was a form of holding tank. Luke's gospel talks about this clearly, and it was Abraham's bosom because there was no way for them to have full entrance into eternity, into the presence of the Father. There was no way for that to take place because the cross hadn't happened. They were by faith believing that this would happen. And so there was this place of in Abraham's bosom. But then when Jesus descended, he set the captives, those who were in Abraham's bosom, those who were believing on him, they were set free. You remember the Bible says that their prophets of old were seen walking the streets of Jerusalem after his ascension, his resurrection, and then ascension, they all. Now they're in the presence of the Lord. Now we die, we go to the presence of the Lord. As we get started with this morning, that idea of the Epicurean philosophy is very, very important. The thought that there is no afterlife, they didn't believe in the eternal realm in that sense. So Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." We could spend our whole morning right there. There's a lot that's said there. The gospel. The gospel is literally good news. That's the term means good news. And it is the best news that anyone could ever get, is that you and I can have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel which I preached to you. So first of all, it's good news. It has to be preached. In other words, there has to be proclamation about this. Someone has to tell somebody about it. There has to be information going out. And that's what I love about what we're trying to partner with letting you see and experience some of the testimonies, because I believe every one of you have a powerful testimony that are believers here today. Every one of you do. And you, by not sharing that with someone, are really withholding great information, great news. You and I have an opportunity to interact with different people throughout the course of our week, and that's an opportunity to share our witness, our testimony. And it all really does revolve around Jesus Christ. That's being someone who is preaching or proclaiming the gospel. It's not just this. This is a segment of that, but it really goes on one-on-one with people, interacting with others, sharing what's going on. The next thing, it has to be shared. Faith comes by hearing. Romans, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It has to be shared with someone. And then it has to be received. You notice that? You have to receive that into your heart. Once you receive that in your heart, now you can stand in it and salvation is yours. But you have to receive that in your heart. Just hearing it doesn't do anything. You have to do something with what you've heard. It has to be an acceptance of that or a receiving of that message. And he says, that's the gospel by which you are also saved. And he says, if you hold fast that word which we preach to you. He says, unless you believed in vain. Now, we've talked about this type of different ideas from time to time about how do you come up with good understanding of the Bible. I believe the Bible is its own best commentary. The Bible itself is its own best commentary. If you look down just a few verses, you get an explanation of what believing in vain would be, what it would mean to believe in vain. In verse 16 of this same chapter, verse 16 of chapter 15, if you just go down there, it says, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's empty. You are still in your sins. That is vain belief. Disavowing or rejecting the resurrection itself is vain belief. It means it's just empty. There's nothing to it at all. What a tragic thing if having heard the gospel, but then just ultimately disavowed or rejected the resurrection itself. Again, there's a lot of pressure. Well, maybe this might work, or maybe that works too. And well, they're good people. Maybe that, you know. Don't you remember? Did you guys not have discussions like that at your dinner table as a kid? They're good people. You think they end up going to hell? If they're good people. The rich young ruler, when made inquiry with Jesus in their dialogue, he had fulfilled the moral code. He was a good moral person. And Jesus said, there's still one thing you lack. He says, go sell all that you have. And it wasn't about what he had that he was, it wasn't what it was about. There was something keeping him back between him and Jesus. And he said, go sell all that you have and come follow me. The issue is come follow me. That's the issue. Come follow me. But see, there was something prohibiting that from happening for him. See, that's kind of sometimes what happens with us sometimes. Jesus says, come follow me. And we say, yeah, but I've got to, you know, and we get all these other reasons why we can't. That's a whole nother story too, isn't it? But we don't want to believe in vain. We want to move forward and trust the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, there's some very significant things about the faith that we have and what we have received. We received it by the word of God. The incorruptible, Peter says, the incorruptible seed. You and I were born by that which is corruptible seed. In other words, this body is going to wear out. I assure you, every morning I wake up, I'm reminded of that simple fact. One leg comes out, the other leg comes out. I try and sit up, you know. You're reminded as you get a little bit older that, wow, this thing's not gonna last forever here. That's just reality. And those of you who don't know it, you'll know it in time. God bless you. I think it's awesome. Run in your ignorance. Enjoy it. It's awesome. That might be kind of Epicurean. We got to stop there. But the idea here, though, you get what I'm saying. You get the idea of what's happening. You and I are born again of incorruptible seed, that which will not perish, the seed of the word of God that was shared with you, that was preached to me, that we received in our hearts, and we were born again. Now, this is incorruptible. This shall not be destroyed. That's how you were born into the family of God, the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The importance, when you're sharing your story of what God's done, tell them about God from his word. Let his word permeate. It's the seed that's thrown out. And it settles in, falls into the cracks and crevices, and it will begin to birth out new life. Oh, it's great. It's a powerful truth to know and to enjoy. Let's pick it up now. So this is the premise, unless you had believed in vain, that would be a horrible thing. He's challenging them. Hold fast that word which was preached to you. Why? Because it's the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Hold on to that. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So, is Paul telling his own message? Are you telling your own message? Or are you just the recipient of something, and you are passing on the good news? What better news than that you could do nothing to earn favor with God, but that your sin, because we know we're sinners, but our sin can be forgiven. What good news. We can have a relationship with the one true living God. Paul says, that which I first of all received. He says, I received that personally. I received that from the Lord. And this is what he then goes in and declares. This is the gospel message, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So does he go back into John's gospel, Matthew's gospel, Luke's? What scriptures does he use? That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Does he turn to 1 Thessalonians or Philippians that he himself wrote by the Spirit? What's he talking about? He is talking about the Old Testament scriptures which declare this same truth. The gospel is not just a New Testament message. It's the fulfillment of it, but it's not just a New Testament message. They were believing, just like you're believing looking back at the cross, they were believing looking forward to the cross. So the people of God in the past were believing that God would provide a Messiah. They went through the animal sacrifices and so forth, believing that there would be ultimately this Messiah that would come, that would be the fulfillment. We are looking back by faith, just like they were looking forward by faith. The cross is at the center of it. It all boils down to what Jesus did for us on the cross. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Psalm 22, simple, quick reference, and Isaiah 53. Go back and read through those. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. You find where it talks about Jesus as the suffering servant and what he went through on the cross for you and for me. Those are just a couple of quick ideas to look through. And then it says, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It is interesting. You look at Jonah and his message. Go to Nineveh. Think about what happened with Jonah. En route, he's sent to go there, but he jumps ship and goes another direction because he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He doesn't like the Ninevites. He doesn't want to share any good news with them. So he jumps ship, goes another direction, only to find out that, you know, they're in this nasty tempest storm and they're just making inquiry and, man, who's done what that brought this evil upon us? And Jonah said, oh, it was me. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. That's a good reminder to do what God wants us to do, huh? So they throw him overboard. naturally. For him, it's probably good news. You know, gosh, maybe I can just end this miserable nightmare of not doing what I'm supposed to, because you're miserable when you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing in the Lord. No doubt. So he's overboard. Big fish comes up. That's what it sounds like when a big fish comes up. He comes up, swallows him up. And you think, oh, that's just a fanciful story. Really? Why would Jesus quote that and go back and discuss it if it's just a story? No, I believe a great fish came up and swallowed him and he lived through it. We won't make the retching sound of a fish barfing up him on the shore, but he made this, you know, goes up, gets barfed out on the shore, walks around, right? This is what happens to him. You know, he's covered with, can you imagine all the, it's just a horrible mess. And he comes up and he's walking around Nineveh. Can you imagine that? Wandering around Nineveh. And as he wanders around, just proclaiming to them that salvation was, you know, in that sense, in their understanding, that they were to repent was basically what it was. They were to repent. And they did. Radical. Radical, radical news, radical information. Isaac, Genesis 22, Old Testament scriptures, on the third day. You remember what happened with Isaac? A type of Christ in that sense. Abraham, the Bible says, Abraham, as God's talking to him, take thy son, thine only son, the son that you love, take him to the Mount Moriah, which is the place of the skull or Calvary. Take him there and sacrifice. Ultimately, God provided, remember, the sacrifice, ultimately, and that was in the form of Jesus Christ. But to show us these examples of what would happen, that he was buried and that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul, just like you, just like me, we can base these simple truths on the scriptures. Now he goes on and he says, and then, so this idea, because the gospel is the gospel. Stay with me because we're going to finish this up in a few minutes, but you got to stay with this because this is really important. The gospel contains those two major components. One, the first component was that Christ died for our sins. The second component was that he rose again on the third day. So there was the death and the resurrection. Both are significant. Sacrificial death and resurrection. Both. That's the good news. That's the gospel, is what Paul is saying. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with your earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose, Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, come.